Everybody, welcome to Sonic Talk, episode 611, recording today live on Wednesday, the 18th of March. I think we have this conversation every year as to what the Ides of March are, and I'm not sure if it's now or at the beginning or at the end or somewhere else entirely, but that's kind of not really relevant. That's more of if we were doing a kind of maybe Roman history literary podcast. But this podcast is actually more to do with music technology and all the things that surround it and all of the production, songwriting, mixing, synth programming, synthesizers, all of that kind of good stuff. And obviously, given the world situation, this is probably a distraction that you are hopefully looking forward to. And we hope to continue to bring this as long as it is humanly possible, because that's what we do. And I'm sure if you have time on your hands, you may well be looking forward to some of our broadcasts. In fact, yesterday we published a sort of look at the Soma Laboratories Pulsar 23 analog drum machine, which is a big orange beast, thoroughly worth checking that out. It sounds amazing and is a really interesting thing. That will be a review coming up. We've got a few other things lined up to come. And of course, we can always Sonic Talk away if we need to as well. So let's say hello to our guests. Let's start off in LA. I can't believe we're going live. We're going live now to LA with Tori Letzler, who you may have seen before, who's a singer, a producer, songwriter, media composer, and her husband, Steve Davis, who I don't know your credentials, I'm afraid. We haven't been brief, but I'm guessing you're a composer also, producer.
I'm also a composer.
He's a film composer.
Film composer, yeah.
Film composer. We work together.
Excellent. So that's ideal. So you were able to turn up for the meeting early together without any kind of kind of hassle.
Yeah, when we accidentally showed up an hour early. Oops, time difference.
That's partly my fault, because I think America has had the time difference and we catch up quite soon, I think, is it the beginning of April? I never remember. It always gets... But it'll all happen... Right again, I think. Or actually, does that mean it's going to be... You'll be an hour... Oh, no, never mind. I can never get it.
We'll be in sync.
We'll be in sync, probably. Well, lovely to have you folks. And I guess you're in your facility. Is that the main studio room? Do you have more... So you work together. Yeah. Presumably, are you working on separate projects? Do you have separate workspaces?
At the moment,
as well?
We have two rooms. This is the bigger of the rooms. And then we have a live room as well in the space that we're in. And we start on a movie together tomorrow that we're actually scoring together for TV. But up until that project, we've been working on separate stuff as of late.
So do you have to fight over I want to use that synth on this film. It's in my room and, you know, change the locks on the doors.
That happens all the time.
Yeah.
We have the bigger rack cases is down here, and then there's a smaller like Manus case upstairs that I'll bring back and forth. So like steel modules back and forth, and yeah, there are some synth fighting.
Is it possible to buy locking nuts for 19-inch rack and modular? So you actually like you get
Don't,
on
when do
you
not when you go and get your. That.
When you get your tyres changed, you have to give the guy, you know, the special locking nut that takes your particular wheel off. You need something along those lines, I think. Well, maybe not. Yeah. Maybe you
we
don't.
We have duplicates and stuff too, which is bad.
Yeah, we have some duplicate synth as well.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. I mean, that's understandable entirely anyway. Anyway, lovely to have you aboard. Nice to meet you, Steve, and nice to see you as ever, Tori. And we also have, back from... every time I switch to your shot, Dom, I'm just like, oh, for Christ's sake, look at the quality of his lens. Dominic's figured out how to get his DSLR into our video conferencing system, and he's putting all of us to shame with the quality of the shot. Look at that depth of field, the quality of his face, and that too.
What you can't see is that everything's kind of dismantled behind me. So there's a rack of modulars which has come out, and a little rack that side which is going into. So I decided to put together a modular system to take out. Of course, now there's nothing to take it out to. I'm still going to finish it and just do some streaming with it, but I wanted to get out the studio for a change. So I'm in the midst. In fact, I said, when we spoke today, I said, actually, do you want to make it next week instead? But putting everything out of focus in the background makes it look as if it's still all normal. So that's
it sort
fantastic.
Of does. Apart, now you've pointed it out there, it just looks like you've still got you're waiting just, for some modules to be delivered. That's all.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's all on that side. I want to know what's duplicated in the Tori Steve studio, because that is a true nine.
Well, maybe we can come back to that. That's that's a topic in itself. Thank God for Dominic saving the topic list of the show, because there's very little news. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us. Dominic, of course, songwriter, also app developer and producer and all of those things, as you can see. How's the app going? I imagine people are
probably... It's good. It's selling. Yeah. It's selling quite well. I'm still stuck on doing a baby-oriented version. Anyone who doesn't know, I've written a sleep-oriented sleep music app called Snuggle Sounds. If you search Snuggle Sounds on the Apple iStore, it's really quite cool, even if I say so myself. And it's doing great, actually, but we want to do a really focused kind of just for young babies and kids, which I think in the
aren't you supposed to just use kind of like white noise and washing machine sounds?
It's got that, funny enough. That there is a washing machine. The app allows you to even speed it up and slow it down. There's also
spin
a fan
cycle
that you can exactly. Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. You should. I know you don't use an Apple phone, which is a shame. But yeah, check it out. But I've been busy doing that, and then really just taking some time out with the modular side of things, just trying to get my head around it properly.
Excellent.
To be honest.
So well, that might be.
Reasonable luxury, to be honest.
Oh, well, that's good. That might be some good practice for perhaps some of the topics we'll be talking about in a little while. And we also have Mr. Yoad Nevo, who's there in Nevo Sound. Is it Nevo or Nevo? I'm like Moog and Moog, and I just can't seem to get it right or
I
consistent.
Probably the British way would be Nevo.
Nevo.
In Hebrew, it's Nevo, actually, but Nevo is fine because that's how it's spelled and it's easy.
And of course, sitting in front of a Neve, that's even
a
more
Neve
appropriate.
Best, so exactly. So yeah, I'm totally used to Nevo, and I quite like it actually.
Excellent. Well, how have you been then, Yard? Have you been kind of busy, just getting stuff out the door? Still got a lot of work.
I'm lucky because a lot of my work is remote mixing, and I'm still busy trying to, you know, to adjust to the new environment and to accommodate for, you know, the new budgets for people and things like that, but trying to make music and to, you know, keep active.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we can't ignore the fact that obviously things are changing rapidly around the world, and for a lot of us, you know, our lifestyles are going to change a little bit, whether it's on a permanent basis or on a short-term basis where we might have to sort of isolate. You know, we know all of that stuff's going on. And I thought one of the things that I wanted to approach in this podcast was kind of, you know, some strategies and some things to sort of consider what the positives that you might have for having some time on your hand. But we'll come back to that because in the meantime, we've also got the Polyend tracker. Now, I don't know whether or not I think we talked about this a little while ago, and it came out live today, and the tracker has been announced. And this is, I think I can probably, that's introducing Polyend tracker. I'm trying to shut that down. Will it do live? No, I'll make it on YouTube and then we can make it full screen. So the Polyend tracker has come out. Let's rewind it. And it's a standalone, I believe it's 8 tracks. Tracking, the tracker way of doing things is kind of old school. I think it was mostly PC, although there were other ports of it, which allowed you to kind of create quite complex but very small sample slices thing. I don't know the full spec on this because it's not fully published. But this is it in its entirety. It does look very nice. 8 tracks, external MIDI, samples. It's got granular synthesis. It's also got... what was the other thing it's got in it? I'm trying to find my own news item now, which I seem to have lost. Let's have a look. Granular synthesis. It's got... wavetable. That's what I'm looking for. Sample and wavetable. And by the sounds of it, filter and... The idea is it's standalone. It's got this lovely screen and what looks like a really cool GUI and UI. Probably a lot of chops taken from the Medusa. Oh, no, I don't. That doesn't automatically switch off because I'm playing it from YouTube. It's actually €449. I think it's pre-order at the moment. Obviously, delivery times are going to be flexible at the moment. But seems to have generated a heck of a lot of interest. And I don't know, I have a feeling probably Yoad or Dominic know a little bit about trackers. I may be completely, because just, you know, I never got to use them. I'm guessing, Yerad, you may have some experience of trackers and that way of working.
Not as such. I mean, I used to use, I forget what it was called. It used to be a program that ran on PC, on DOS, actually.
Milky Tracker?
No, it wasn't a tracker. It was like a synth, which was, had, it was supposed to be connected to a tracker, to be the sound engine of a tracker. AX or something like that. It was so good. I used to love it. But I haven't worked on trackers as such, because I started with, you know, with computers quite early. So I didn't feel the need to do that. But, well, yeah,
at this point, I want to make clear that I didn't go to you, Tori and Steve, because I thought they're far too young to know about trackers, and you're straight in there with some buzzwords that I, you know, and
yeah,
I know
sorry.
Nothing. I know nothing about trackers whatsoever because it passed me by completely.
I don't know much either. I just I was a video game scoring minor in college, and one of the programs I used to use for video games back in the day was a program called Milky Tracker, which I think you can still get for. It's a free program you can still download online. I'm fairly certain. But yeah, the first thing I saw when the video came up, I was like, oh, that looks like Milky Tracker, how it's almost like very Tetris-y with the, I definitely used Milky Tracker like 10 years ago.
Okay.
It almost looked like some, like, maybe like an old Atari, like sequencer or something like
Commodore,
that.
Commodore, yes.
Yeah, Commodore or something like that. Yeah.
That's as far as my knowledge goes with that, though. I haven't touched anything like that.
I like the size of it, you know, the machine or something like that from Native Instruments is so large, and so is the Akai. That might be a good solution for people that don't have a lot of space, you know.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good shout. I mean, I think the only thing I'm slightly concerned about is that screen looks beautiful and I can't see a hard cover on it, and I'm just worried that you might poke it with something quite easily. But I mean, I'm sure that's entirely getting around. But it does, the stuff that we've seen in the UI looks really nice. I mean, it really does look nice. And I think that's, I suppose then, Dom, this kind of maybe applies a little bit to the sort of work that you've been doing with your app, because essentially you're working with embedded resources and reusing as small a sonic footprint or data footprint as possible to create these kind of
100%,
sequences.
Something that
speaks to you.
Yeah, because you've got, if you're trying to play sleep music for 12 hours a night, you can just about fit one track on in a download, you know, even an MP3 size. So you end up chopping them into its little constituent bits and building your own tracker to play the various bits. I think I'm right in saying that the trackers originally came out from the early computer games on the Amigas and the Ataris that you mentioned, maybe C64s. Kind of as a tool the original coders used to put the games together. So even way back in the very early, like Namco and Space Invaders type stuff, the instruction set to make to actually play the games out of these early chips, I think they kind of developed a little very geeky or programmer-oriented system that allowed them to actually play in these eight tracks of sound. And the Amiga was the first one that actually made big use of that chip. I think the Atari put their kind of resources into a MIDI port, whereas Amiga had some really good video and audio side in there. And then they just expanded because they came really, really, really cool. And they go top to bottom. I did have a friend of mine tell me yesterday that he likes trackers, but he didn't like the way they go top to bottom. And I think that's basically the whole point of the tracker, really. There's not much left. But
that's true. Yeah, I mean, I suppose that's the thing. That's a fair point, because that's an unfamiliar thing. I mean, it looks to like that. But it's interesting what you say. It was a programming tool made out of necessity by people who just needed a way to get it in there, rather than, you know, our current crop of DAWs, which have an NLE sort of vibe and it makes sort of a certain amount of sense. So tracker will work like this. I don't know. I imagine it's got a decent amount of, I think it's got SD card content. I don't know what the sort of maximum sample size is, whether it'll play entire tracks. Need to find out a bit more about that. If you want to check it out though, Loop Pop's got a 52-minute video of sort of covering all the features, as he usually does, first up and first to get there. Man, his last couple of weeks must have been crazy. Imagine having to get your head around that. That's a lot of work. Well, we're hoping to get hold of one, but obviously everything's up in the air with...
I have to say that the sounds, like what I hear on this demo, wasn't very impressive. So it would be nice to hear some other sounds to see what the capabilities, the sonic capabilities are, because it looks very slick and everything.
Yeah.
But what can
being able
it
to import your own sounds, though, seems like the way to go on that.
I would guess so. You know, and I think, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, you know, but I guess the thing is, we don't know what the D2A sound like or that sort of stuff, because sometimes there's just a sort of, some things have a certain presence. I mean, it's impossible to tell us. But at the price, 449, this is a pre-order. I think it's 499. This is euros, so it's going to be similar-ish dollars, I guess. That seems
still a really good price point.
It is a really good price point, isn't it? For a kind of what is essentially a boutique European product, that is very...
And it looks really nice. Mm. I would like to have something like that. It looks very kind of modern and, you know...
Oh, are you considering making space in your center console for a tracker?
Maybe I'll just...
sacrifice a few channels.
Well, we'll see. But like I said, I want to hear more of what it can do before, you know, I take a step like that. To me, it seems like something that is, maybe I'm wrong, but it like one up from the MPC line in terms of the design. It looks a little bit more modern and
aesthetically
more
pleasing.
Which I think is nice to have.
Absolutely.
I think one of the things that comes from it is that there is a small hardcore group of tracker guys. I think there's a thing called Piggy Tracker as well as the Milk one that runs on like Nintendo and not Trekkies, trackers. It runs on like the Game Boy and stuff. But they've always been locked into the tracker style computer oriented chip sounds. And I don't think anyone's taken the concept and actually said, well, look, the interface is great. And it actually is. It's just, it's streams of channels going down that you can put loop points in. And it's quite a nice way of seeing it. If you don't think in terms of generic kind of left to right music scoring and channels, if you're literally limited, then it's quite a neat way of seeing stuff. But I'd not really seen it applied to decent sounds, you know. So if you can import your own sounds, if you can start putting some good stuff in there, then that is just genuinely a nice take on what is actually a great interface.
Yeah, well, let's see. I mean, one of the emails I'm going to write as soon as this is over is, can we get one in for review? Because we should have a little bit of time to look at it, and it looks like it's going to take a bit of time and be very interesting to see. Because, I mean, that paradigm shift to lists, that will take a little bit of time to get used to, just because we're all so used to this, I suppose.
I love
Ableton
it.
Live, we have it. You like that, do you? Yeah, do you like that kind of... Does it make more sense?
When I started working, it kind of gives away how old I am, but it was quite a few years ago. It was before the there was a timeline. So Cubase introduced the timeline on Cubase, whatever version
3.
It was.
Yeah.
But before that, there was Pro 24 by Steinberg, which wasn't even on an Atari ST. It was like an older Atari, and it had no graphic display whatsoever, so it was all text. And when you played something, it could record MIDI. It has 16 tracks. And when you recorded MIDI, so the activity meter would be like dollar exclamation mark question, you know, that would that was your meter.
Hex feedback.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hexadecimal. You kids don't know how easy you've got it.
Yeah, I love working with lists. There's something about it, and also the C-Lub, the predecessor of Logic. Yeah,
Creator, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah, and Creator. It was like that, more like the Ableton Clip Launcher. But that was your whole thing. These were your patterns, and you had to program the number, like at this bar, this is going to be number. That's, you know, like a drum machine, like an RX 11 or something like that. So you had you would program the patterns, and then you had the song, which was how to sequence those patterns.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this has a pattern mode. And I mean, yeah.
Let's not do that.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I know, right? I mean, I can't imagine being in a situation, because the thing is when you can zoom in and zoom out and see where, you know, okay, this is coming up in 8, I can see the shape of this, this is happening. I need, you know, there are all sorts of visual cues which are very helpful when mixing and when, you know, okay, I need to be ready with this fader, whatever it is that you might be doing, which you're not going to be getting with a tracker playback. I mean, there may be other views in this, obviously, that we're not not seeing.
To be fair, that was kind of back in the day when UX designer wasn't even a job.
Well, you couldn't
get a job. It just didn't exist.
Yeah.
Meant something else, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, quite.
Okay. Well, check it out. They're doing pre-orders. I don't know exactly when it's coming out but polyend.com is the place to go for that. And I think what I'll do is I'll just as ever this week, we have our friends over at Isotope giving away a copy of Ozone 9 Advanced.
Building on a 17-year legacy in audio mastering, Ozone 9 brings balance to your mix with never-before-seen processing for low-end. Real-time instrument separation and lightning-fast workflows powered by machine learning. Expect lower CPU usage and shorter startup times with Ozone 9 compared to Ozone 8. Experience fluid metering in a fully resizable environment that lets you track the most subtle details of your audio. Use more plugins at once, mix while you master without worrying about slowdowns or dropouts. And immerse yourself in a smooth, modern experience designed to keep you in your creative flow. As you can see, Ozone 9 is the fastest way to get your master off the ground. Thank you so much for watching. Be sure to check out our other videos and head to isotope.com to learn more about mixing and mastering and to download your free trial of Ozone 9.
Yes, indeed. And we thank Isotope for sponsoring the prize because we have the prize of Ozone 9 Advanced and the competition we're looking for this week. I think I've already used the hashtag Final Master, so I figured I'd go in the sort of nomenclature that many people maybe follow when they're naming their documents. So this time the hashtag is Final Master. And the hashtag Ozone9. So we're looking for the hashtag Final Master and the hashtag Ozone9 to @SonicState and @IsotopeInc. So that's a Twitter competition. If you run that in, just tweet that Final Master as one word. And that really, truly, truly final. To @IsotopeInc and @SonicState.com. @SonicState, I'll say that again. The hashtag Final Master as one word. The hashtag Ozone9. And to @SonicState and @IsotopeInc will enter you in the competition. We have a winner from last week's show, and somebody called Brian Rowe, Izzy_Monkey. The spring has sprung outside Nick's studio. That's because last week I was talking a little bit about the... I think we got a cherry blossoming out there, or it was. All the flowers seem to have fallen off. But there's an apple tree that's still going, which you can't see either. But you'll just have to take my word for it. So Brian Rowe, Izzy Monkey, if you get in touch, we'll be able to get hold of a copy of Isotope Ozone 9. Okay, right. A bit of housekeeping. So obviously, you know, we are aware of the world situation. We're not going to dwell on it too much. One thing that has come out is that the Super Booth has been cancelled, as we suspected. But at this point, as SonicState, we've decided we're going to try and create a kind of collection of product videos and ask people to join us. We could do things like this, you know, Sonic Talk type setup, have people interview, show us products, and we're going to try and release a big collection of videos around about the dates of that. We haven't got a name for that yet. It's not something that we've considered. So we're actually looking for a name for it. We want to try and kind of come up with something unique and original, and clearly our adult brains are unable to do that. So if you were in the chat room, if you've got any ideas for what we might call this, it's going to be a sort of general release of videos that we can get filmed before the April the 23rd to the 26th, somewhere around that's preliminary dates, which were roughly where Superbooth was. Our heartfelt commiserations go out to the team who organised Superbooth, because A, it's one of the best shows of the year, if not the best show of the year. And they must have put so much work and effort into it. It must be very disappointing for them. But the primary thing is that everybody's safe and happy and all of those things. But if you're interested in getting involved, perhaps you're a manufacturer and we haven't told you about this already, send an email to sonicshows@sonicstate.com. That's the email, sonicshows@sonicstate.com, and then we can get in touch and show you and tell you what you might need to do and whether we can schedule it in. We're just looking to kind of get as many people involved so that we can have a load of content that you guys and gals out there can watch. Anyway, with that in mind, obviously we're all kind of we all have a bunch of time on our hands potentially, you know, and with the creative industry, you know, a lot of us spend a lot of time on our own, but, you know, business is changing, you know, we're all kind of having to adapt and change what we're thinking about doing. And I'm trying to think of sort of positive things that might come out of social distancing or isolation or time on your hands. You know, there are things that I think, well, maybe I'll get into doing this, I'll be getting into doing that. You know, there's a lot of free stuff you can get out there. Maybe you'll learn a new DAW. There are lots of things that we could do if you haven't already still got a lot of work to get done. I'm going to come over to you guys in LA for a bit, because I know, I mean, media composition is notoriously, it's sort of either highly compressed and or very slow. You know, there's sort of, so the gap between work, unless you're fortunate to be really busy, is something that you have to kind of get to terms with anyway. So, I mean, how are you doing in terms of, you've got stuff that you're doing now, but if you have time, what would you be spending it on from a kind of musical creativity point of view?
We have been really busy for a really long time. In fact, we took our first vacation in about a year, 2 weeks ago, which was very good timing. But I mean, we do have, we're starting a TV film tomorrow or today. So that's still going ahead as planned. But a couple other things we've been working on or we're about to start working on have been halted. So we do what was, you know, I guess gearing up to be incredibly busy and having a lot of overlap has slowed down a bit, I'm assuming temporarily. What we've been doing, because we don't usually have a lot of time to kind of tinker between projects, we have been doing live streams with the Eurorack on my Instagram. And that's been really fun. We've been recording all of those, and I've gone back yesterday and actually, you know, chopped quite a bit of it up. And we don't have a ton of time to do stuff like that, to just play. Especially the two of us together. That's why.
And you know, both of us have set up our career in a way that sort of half of our time is spent doing library music and half the time is spent doing projects that are, you know, being released, like film and TV. So when we're not working on a movie, we're doing library music.
Which hasn't stopped.
And so now it's like, wait, so basically, it could potentially be months of nobody calling us, and we could just write whatever we want and like just make a bunch of great albums and release
Silver
them
lining.
Later. Like, that sounds awesome.
And I have a side project, my electronic project, Tiny Cat, which just came out with my first single last month. So when the media stuff slows down, I have that, because the only person that's in charge of that is me. So that's actually been pretty nice. But I think, as you guys will all, you know, agree, social distancing is kind of like the lives that we already live.
Yeah, well, that's not true for us one bit.
Yeah, the difference is what Steve said is like we're able to focus a little bit more because we're not getting a million emails and calls throughout the day. So parts of it have actually been nice, but I do recognize that we're pretty lucky in the situation that we're in. We know that other freelancers, you know, might not be in the same position, so. For us, the way to distract has been the live streaming, and I bought a Electron Digitact right before social distancing went into effect. So we've been kind of messing with that. That's been the new toy.
Yeah, I think that's go, Steve.
I was just going to say, I feel like there's no excuse at all not to write your own music and make the best of the creative time that you have. Like, there's no you don't have anything else you have to do. So,
well, we kind of do, but...
Yeah, well, no, I know what you're saying. I mean, I get the point. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, one thing I've been doing also is I've been trying not to have, you know, because it's very tempting just to have the news on all the time. And I find that doesn't actually help me personally. So I've just sort of gone, right, I listen to it in the morning and then the rest of the time I'll try and make music or do other stuff. And it's made me feel mentally a whole lot better. Just like I did the Pulsar 23 thing yesterday. I'm going to try and do some more synth jam stuff. And it's making me feel like loads better and less stressed and anxious and all of those things that everybody must be feeling. So music has an incredible sort of powerful part to play, I think, in your kind of spiritual well-being at difficult times. And if you're fortunate enough to be able, I guess if you're watching this show, you probably are one of those people that does that anyway, so you know, maybe you don't need to know that. I mean, this is preaching the converted, perhaps.
I was gonna say, the silver lining I think is that all of these producers and people that, you know, may have been touring and not had a lot of time to be focusing on music, as the summer comes up and there's a lot of festival dates and concerts, all those people are now back in the studio making music and live streaming and doing all kinds of stuff. So I think we're going to have a little bit of a creative, like, renaissance explosion when this is all over. And for that, I am looking forward to, you know, what's going to come out of it.
A beat boom, yeah.
Exactly.
Very well said, Yoad. I mean, I guess for you, I mean, what happens for you when you're not, you know, when you haven't got client work coming through? I mean, I know, I mean, we've done your studio tour. You love to kind of tinker and change your workflow and kind of refine. I mean, I guess that's some of that.
Exactly. I'm usually very busy and I'm doing different things. Like I have the Waves work, the plugin development work, and I have my production work, and I have a lot of mixing and mastering work. So it's very diverse. So there's, you know, there's always one in more focus. But I have to say that there's so many things that I would like to do with spare time. Like there's, you know, there's always so much stuff to do. And I think that once you invest in your sample collection, in your preset collection, in your knowledge about how to program the synths and how to make your own useful kind of mini sample libraries. There are so many things to do which are so beneficial, and a lot of my free time, which is not really free time because it's work related, is preparing stuff for myself for later, you know, and right. And working out the sample library, the sound libraries, you know, sometimes simple things as just going through samples, randomly selecting, like make a selection on a folder, throw it onto a keyboard, like drum sounds or other sounds as well. And then suddenly you have a kit and then you store it. And if you make 50 like that in 10 minutes, then next time you go to start a beat, maybe you load one of them and maybe it will throw you in a direction that you wouldn't plan. So things like that, which take time initially, and time is something that a lot of people have on their hands, and trying to think of how to make it beneficial for later, because that also gives you a bit of optimism rather than just thinking about the news and what's going on, but to actually say, okay, I'm going to have so many sessions, and now is the time to actually improve and build up my arsenal of, you know, whether it would be really learning how to program that synth or that plugin. And by doing that, you would learn so much about wavetable, about this and things that,
yeah,
you know, new technologies and how to combine things.
And possibly find a new sound, you know, something that a direction
exactly.
that you can go in. Yeah,
exactly.
That's very good. Very good point, actually. I think that's something well worth mentioning. And I'm sure all of us will be able to do some of that. And all of you out there can at least sort of go, I know, I'm going to try, you know, whatever. I spoke to Dave Spears earlier this morning, and he was saying that since for the last week or so, when there's been a bit more social distancing, obviously he made that sort of almost an hour-long video on the CS80, which did okay. But now as people kind of go, oh, I'll get round to watching that this week. And he said the numbers have gone really kind of exponential because people have got a bit more time. I mean, people still consume the short form stuff and stuff that we do, but something which takes a bit more commitment, time commitment, they're prepared to do that sort of thing. So Dominic, what about yourself? I mean, you were saying you're working on a kind of, you know, just different rack configuration, just trying to come up with something that's got...
Well, I'm in a relatively luxurious position because I'm sort of semi-retired from music side of things in terms of being like the pro writer and session player. And I do stuff that I still have to make a living, but I do stuff that I kind of enjoy a little bit more. And I think there's a few types of people that watch this. There's obviously live pro musicians who are screwed at the moment, and that's a terrible thing. Anything involving live clubs playing or whatever. There's studio oriented or software oriented, like Yoad, who's in a better position because, you know, he can keep on. Although I'm sure that work will also fall off as well, particularly on the mix side of things, because if you're not touring and promoting and selling albums, you're not going to be putting so much money into remixing the next lot. And then there's guys for whom this is a hobby, right? Which is, but it could be an enormous hobby. It could be semi-pro, almost going pro hobby, or it could be something to do on a Saturday afternoon. And having more time, I think it's also okay to chill out for a little bit and just
that's true.
Get your head together.
Let's not forget that.
Because, you know, I mean, everyone's always got that book they wanted to write or that thing they wanted to do or the manual to read or the album to make or whatever it is. And that's good too. But baby steps, if we really are going to face a few months of a different world, then, you know, take a relaxation break and just decide which you want to do first. Don't jump into everything, because I personally find if you're doing it all, you never finish anything. But I was going to reiterate what Yoad was saying. I mean, pull out a manual, go and look back at that synth that you've been using for ages, or that sequencer or door or whatever that you've been using for ages, and suddenly you'll find that there's bits that you just didn't realize, the bits that you know and love that you use every day. You suddenly go, oh, I didn't realize it did that. Or learn an instrument. You know, if you've got a keyboard around, do some piano lessons. There's loads of YouTube piano lessons. And you'd be amazed at what 10 minutes a day for 2 or 3 months will get you in terms of finding new chords or playing scales and stuff, rather than just kind of hitting the keyboard. Or same with guitar as well. I'm useless at guitar. So one of the things I want to do is I can play a few chords, but I actually want to learn how to play a few songs as well. You know, just it just expands your repertoire. And for me, being a bit techie, if anyone's got that kind of gene in there and they've never looked at it, now's the time to kind of perhaps watch a few YouTube videos on Arduinos or Teenses or, you know, any of those little, I've got one here, like little things like this, that are so easy to put together with a soldering iron now. You don't have to do that much work. This thing is, an FM2. I can't actually get it in the focus. Yeah, I have to be by my head. So that's an FM2 synth. It's got an FPGA on it. It's got a digital to analog converter on it and about four components. And it cost about £75, including delivery in the UK. And it's basically two DX7s on steroids, just out of the box. It's really easy to build. And you can learn a hell of a lot of stuff putting that together. And it's an amazing little synth as well. But even with a teensy like this, you know, there's so much resource out there. You can build clever things like MIDI filters and arpeggiators and little sequences or little synths and stuff. If you've got the time on your hands, it's not that hard anymore, you know, because basically someone's already done it. There's already example code that's out there. So I would say, learn a skill, learn an instrument, but do it slowly and don't try and do everything all at the same time.
I think that's a very good shout. And I think, Tori, coming back to you and what Steve was saying about the fact that through, you know, creative concentrate, when adversity comes or there's time that, you know, people are sort of driven into within themselves to create, you do get these huge spikes of inspiration. You get whole new genres of music. You get kind of masterpieces created. And I think, you know, we may well see towards the end of the year, you know, whatever the time scale is, you know, by the time people have had maybe a month or 6 weeks or two, however long it's going to be, coming out the other side, we're going to see a whole lot of new thinking, lots of considered thinking, lots of considered For sure. music, some great art, you know, which is, and this is something that I think is really important. It's very easy to be forgotten, you know, art is what defines us as a species, you know, so we could be really good at it, so we could use this to actually kind of do that. I mean, there are other things I want to do. You know, I'll go running or something, you know, just get fit, because I'm not, my life is very sedentary, so I'm going to maybe think about, there are other things that will just generally improve, assuming, you know, we're allowed out. I know that's not the case in all countries, but that will change over time. So I'm trying to think of these sort of positive things. I mean, just a few things. There are still some free DAWs. If you're maybe thinking, I should learn X or Y, maybe now's the time. You know, there's Cakewalk. It's free DAW on Windows. Reaper, which
didn't
is
Moog put Sorry. Out a free app?
They did.
Moog
they put,
just released a free they Model just, D app.
Model
right?
D, yeah. There's a bunch of stuff. A Korg, iKai Oscillator. There's Reaper, Mac PC, 60-day license. That is another one to check out. Very powerful. BandLab is on the iOS. Sibelius and Pro Tools, I think they're doing a 90-day free license to kind of to get people, you know, so you could learn some of that stuff. Maybe not something you want to buy in the end, but you could try to learn it. There's a whole bunch, and lots of software companies are sort of giving away freebies and massive reductions. So you kind of, you know, and I think software will take a big spike, because obviously you don't have to go anywhere to a store or have anything delivered. You can just kind of download it. So that's going to mean that there's, I think, a big evolution in both written software and way software are used. So there are some really positive. I started a thread on Facebook, which was, I was thinking about putting an article together, which was what's free at the moment. And then in the end, there was just a bunch of stuff, and it's easy to find. Lots of people have done it. And one other thing I want to put out is, if you go to DivKid Video, which is DivKid, Ben Wilson's a regular guest. He's basically, the other thing I think, but coronavirus isolation streams, because lots of people are sitting at home or sitting wherever they are, and they're sending out live streams, jamming, or there's all of that potential. You could actually become something by just going, you know what, I'm going to stream my jams. I think we're going to see a lot more people consuming live, because there's no gigs anymore at the moment. You know, there's no gigs happening. People will be consuming stuff that's streamed live. You know, this is what we're doing here. We're not making music, we're just talking. But, you know, there's so much potential. And I think that there will be an enormous increase in the uptake of technology as an enabler. You know, I went over to my mum's place and I got her hooked up with video conferencing so that we can talk to her, you know. But times that by online collaborative services, all of that, we're going to end up with tons of it, I think. And I think that's going to be it's quite exciting as a positive.
Basically all the artists I know that had tours scheduled that unfortunately are not going to be making their festival dates, they've all been getting on Twitch and streaming the DJ sets that they were going to do, and either making income like that or teaching production lessons. I mean, you have huge DJs getting on Twitch right now and teaching you how to use Ableton. That's a huge resource for a lot of people. And it's really, really interesting. So I definitely think, I agree 100% with what you're saying. We're going to see a big bump in, live streaming and technology. And I think it's good for people that are, sitting at home and may not know what to do with all that extra time if they have it. And, supporting artists, collaborating with other artists, teaching yourself. We watched like an hour long video the other day on We Just Got Maths, the module that everybody seems to have. We just sat and like watched the video and figured out all the little intricacies that we may not have figured out on our own. Just taking a little bit of extra time to learn stuff.
Right. Maybe now's the time to have that question that you brought up, Dominic, which is...
Yes.
What modules do you have duplicated in your system? What a brilliantly executed link. If only I hadn't explained it, then it would have seemed really natural. But so I don't know. So here we go. What things do you have that you've duplicated?
Basically, our computer machines are clones of each other.
We have three clone rigs,
one for the home and two. So all the software, there's plenty of times where Tori will want to record down here because it sounds better, and I'll still need to be working on a film. So, I'll go upstairs and I can completely do whatever I need to do.
Yeah, because this room is the super well-treated room. The room upstairs is like a smaller writing room. So we have to have like complete duplicate systems to send things, and we're on the same network and we can share files up and down. In terms of hardware,
we have two Korg monologues.
I don't know.
The Yamaha montage. Well, yeah.
But that's because I'm a Yamaha artist. We have a lot of Yamaha montages and Modi-Xs. Yeah. But the Korg monologue, because it's such an easy little thing, we have multiples of that. We randomly now have two DPOs from Make Noise.
Yeah, my Eurorack. I wanted one of those black DPOs since I saw the whole Make Noise system. But they don't sell it individually. You had to buy the whole system, and somebody was selling one used. So even though I have a DPO, I had to buy the black one.
So now we have two.
The dual oscillator module, is that the one that we're looking at here? Yeah. Just to clarify.
We had the silver one, and they make an all black one.
But it only comes in their shared system if you buy the whole system. Every once in a while, somebody will sell just that, and... He wants black panels. Don't even get me started.
Man, you LA types, it's all about the look, isn't it? I don't know. Crikey. It doesn't sound any different, Steve.
Dude, it totally sounds better.
Not so much.
Not a ton.
Ah, okay.
No, I mean... The biggest thing was we have this big, I would show you the case, but our ring light and the camera is sitting on the big case right now, so I can't really show you. But we do have a big Dofer case in the downstairs room right now. And then upstairs we have the smaller plastic Manis case, which can easily be moved. So basically, we just like separate the modules between those two cases. And when we want to bring the two cases together, we just bring the Manis case downstairs and set it in front and hook everything up. And, you know, it's easy enough to just unscrew stuff and trade back and forth. However, fights ensue.
Yeah. So. Well, like I say, the locking nuts. I think I've come up with something there that I think I'm gonna have to develop. That's why maybe I'll spend my time, sort of in quiet time, developing the Eurorack locking nut mechanism with unique keys.
Do want to get. I just got the BIA from Noise Engineering, which is a really really funky. Yeah. It's a drum module, but
it's a drum and it has a bass sound in it, yeah, too.
And it's awesome. It's this, like, 4 HP module. It's great. And I keep having it upstairs in the little rack, and he keeps wanting to steal it.
I have a bunch of Make Noise stuff.
Noise Engineering, sorry.
And every time we plug that one in, I'm like, damn, I really think I need one of those in my rack.
Yeah.
That is Eteritas Alta. Okay. That's
so good.
I got it a couple weeks ago, and we have a lot of their stuff. But for some reason, that little module is like the one that I use the most out of anything in my rack.
Kick drums.
It's very industrial, isn't it? It's just like really hardcore industrial.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're into I write a lot of my side project, Tiny Cat, is industrial mid-tempo electronic music. So if you're into like that really like dirty, nasty, gritty sound, like all the stuff they make kind of fits in that. But that module in particular, you can make it sound pretty like, you know, clean and to the point too, but it does get pretty gnarly. So
gnarly very quickly.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I don't know. You've probably got duplicates. I mean, I know. Yeah. Well, I've asked you this before, haven't I? Whether you've got like
a
replacement units ready for when the stuff that you use all the time wears out, and you're not all that well equipped in that department just at the moment. Maybe you can source.
No, I well, actually, you know, before I moved, when I built this studio, and so before the move, I put a lot of stuff on eBay. The moment I have a couple of SH-101s. And I have my four Waldorf Pauls, which I connect, you know, to make them one polyphonic
sound. Massive. Yeah, I have to say, that sound. I think, did we cover that in the video we shot with you? It sounds massive.
No, I don't think so. No.
No, okay, maybe we didn't. That's a bit of a mess of us.
Yeah. My dream is to have maybe 16 one day, you know. Also, so you can pan them, surround and all that. So that could be interesting because I love that. I know I've mentioned it a few times, but I really love that synth. It's so good. The Waldorf Pulse.
Which synth did you say?
The Waldorf Pulse.
I haven't tried the Pulse 2. I wonder if it's an improvement or it must have a different sound. There's something about the Pulse which is like... I don't know. It's kind of rude. I like it.
Ah, okay, cool. Actually, that's
Can
a
you
very...
talk about your Neve?
What do you want to know?
just what is it? What, like, how many channels? Like...
So that's a V51 desk, but it's actually made out of two desks, which were merged together. So I had two 36 desks, which I've merged together. And then I have, so here I have 60 channels. But it's, the center section. It used to be in a film studio, actually in LA. I don't know which studio, but it was, I bought it, from this dealer who brought it from LA. And so this is an 8-way center section, so it's all 7.1 and everything, which is very very convenient. And other than that, so one desk is from 81 and the other one is from 84. The channels, they're all kind of mixed up anyway. It's just the difference between them is just the routing system. I don't know if you can see it.
Not quite. No, it's probably
no, but anyway either. But now they've completely, it's one desk, and the sound, it's the first Neve to have dynamics on the channels, and those dynamics really, really nice. The EQ is really nice. And the sound, you know, when I first got it, I used to work on, and record on Neves and stuff. That's my preferred desk for recording. But there's something about this desk that, like owning one, is that I, first time I plugged in an acoustic guitar and recorded it, I said it's almost unfair to all the people who don't have it, you know, how good it sounds. I really felt that.
I'm sure it probably helps justify the probably enormous expense of that as well. Because, I mean, it's, you know, Neve stuff has always been and hard to keep going. I just wanted to come back to you there because you were talking about the Waldorf stuff. Did you see the news that I think it's Brainworks have just bought the kind of synth part of bought PPG synths because Wolfgang Palm is retiring in the end of March this year, and after 50 years, and he's now together with them, they're going to kind of keep moving it forward. But the actual PPG synths has been sold to them. So I guess that means, you know, the stuff like software, I think they're not very clear on the intent, but Brainworks are obviously a software company, so that would make sense.
Well, I mean, the PPG is a digital synth.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, I'm sure they have great plans for it, and it's a, you know, but it's kind of, there are more modern ways of generating wavetable oscillators than the PPG. Obviously, it has its magic and everything, but I don't know, in terms of IP, it's, I understand the owning the brand and the name, but in terms of the actual IP, I'm not sure if there's anything there that is interesting.
I don't know. That's a good point. In which case, good skills on that sale. Good work. Nice way to, nice exit strategy. I'm sure there will be some good stuff coming along. I don't think we came along to you as to, you know, I don't know. Have you got things that are so good you had to get two of them in case one of them stopped working?
Well, I've got two JX3Ps actually. The very first synth I ever bought was a JX3P, and I fitted it with a Kiwi mod. This Kiwi mod gives it amazing sounds. And then a broken one came up on eBay that was already fitted with the Kiwi mod but didn't work, and lo and behold, I managed to fix it, which was really cool. So I've got two, and I really, really love them. But I mean, no, I don't need two of anything because I'm self-isolating alone, but at least my family isn't so much into this whole this stuff. I think my Desert Island stuff is still, I really love the Deluge at the moment, still using that a lot. Modular stuff, I'm really getting into that at the moment, actually. I've just bought, is it the Laquelic Iteratus? It's the sister brother. Laquelic, which is a less industrial version. And that's just arrived. That's really good. And I'm really, really lucky. The thing that got me back into it, I found and bought a Schwaemann, that's right, MMF4, which is it's unobtainable. It's like a four-channel filter mixer.
Oh god, yeah, and it's got compression in it as well, hasn't it?
It's got this sort of distorted overdrive on it, and I managed to get one of those, which is then just I've been after one for years, which has kicked me off into getting this whole thing going. So that is my that's my unobtainium thing at the moment. I think I know I couldn't afford one of those.
I'm unfamiliar with what that is.
It's
if I can grab it.
Schwaemann, the Schwaemann filter. It was when Schwaemann first. I think that it's a non-Eurorack format, as far as I remember.
Yeah,
it was around the time that the Schwaemann filter bank was kind of hot property, and it was that sort of device. I mean, I think it's a stereo filter, from what I remember. But I think we did something on it. Dom's got
my earpiece in, so you can't hear.
Except you've got your okay. I'm almost totally wrong. I'm almost totally wrong then, because it's not what I was thinking at all.
That's not what you thought it was either.
It's a Eurorack version.
The Schwaemann filter, rather. I've always called it Schwaemann. And resonator. And then each channel has like a distortion, like a warming thing. It just sounds amazing.
Nice.
It's this thing that Surgeon was always going on about with his techno rack. But they don't make that many of them. And I can't even hear if you're talking. Because I don't have my headphones in, but give us a second. Yeah, I've been after one for ages, and it really does sound good. It's not just a modular, it's just, you know, put anything through it, and it sounds really great.
I know what you mean. A lot of that stuff. Really, I've got two of my Sonic Talk Nano Control 2 for controlling all of the for this, because there's nothing worse than that feeling. You're just about to do a show, and the hardware that controls the whole show, that is ultimately 50 quid, means you can't do it.
I have a few of these M-Audio keyboards, and actually two of them have stopped working, so
you need to stock up.
So I just take it out, put a new one in. I mean, they don't cost a lot, but that's the only one who has, that I found for this size, it has more than two octaves. It's actually 2.5. So that makes a lot of difference.
And your Neve center section.
Beatsteps and Beatstep Pros.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Do you use that? Because a lot of people use those just purely as a sort of basically a CV and gate MIDI interface and forget about the sequencing, and maybe a controller as well.
No, we use the sequencing a lot.
In fact, that's the main reason I use it for.
This Beatstep Pro.
Not the Keystep.
The Beatstep, not the Keystep.
I wonder if the Keystep has more than two octaves.
I can't recall. It doesn't have as many knobs. The Keystep Pro doesn't have. Yeah, not as many knobs.
Yeah.
Which is a disappointment.
The new one they came out with, had less. That's exactly what I was going to say. When I went to look at it, I was expecting it to be like the big bad cousin, and it kind of disappointed me a little bit. Because we probably would have bought one if it didn't have less knobs.
Yeah. Well, I have limited space now, and it sits in a drawer.
Actually, we might be able to show you. Let me see if I can tilt this. This might go badly. In this drawer, we have the SEO2, the Beatstep Pro. Yeah, the Nix from Dreadbox, the JU module from Roland.
And basically, I just have three CV cables that I keep plugged into one of the sequences all the time, and I plug it into the Euro rack, and what I use it mostly for is I just kind of randomly turn the pitch knobs within, I set the mode like minor or major. And then I just randomly set the pitches and let the Eurorack find its way until I hear something I like.
I like the
randomness of it.
We did a jam the other day, which I don't think it's on my Instagram anymore. I think I put it on stories, so it disappears. But it was literally like the whole time, it's like I was controlling the Beatstep and randomizing everything, and he was over here on the rack and swapping and vice versa, just until we found like a pattern that randomly sounded good, and then, you know, changing the type of scale that it was on. We definitely use it as a sequencer.
It's fantastic for that thing. Like, I in the computer, I can write my own arpeggio easily, and I tend to then...
But you would gravitate towards... Yeah, you would gravitate towards the same, yeah.
This just creates, like, I would never have picked those notes together.
I think that's good. We've talked about, you know, machines can be very helpful in terms of a kind of non-human intervention, I suppose, for some useful stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, more stuff to explore. There's so much. I mean, I think this is another thing, you know, that I think we're going to see lots of people doing more live streams, and people should, you know, just go for it. Because, I mean, the thing is what's the worst going to happen? You know, you're either going to get a ton of people or not many people. And, you know, I think it doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. Just go for it, because it gives you, for people who are maybe noodlers and don't ever finish anything, it gives validation for the noodle process as well, because you're putting it out there and people can enjoy what you're doing. It doesn't have to be a well-rehearsed album type thing. You know, just do what you feel like. You know, I think that's maybe we'll have a bit of creative inhibition, not lack of inhibition. Is that the right way of put it? Is that a double negative? So people can just go, you know what, I'm going to go for it and see what happens. I think that might be something that comes out of this as well.
I think that people that are maybe normally at an office job that only look at music as a hobby may discover that, wow, I really like music, and it's way better than working in my office job. And maybe this will give people the opportunity to explore that side of them and maybe not go back to that office job when this is all done.
I think that's a fair point. Maybe people will discover themselves and they'll kind of, you know, realize
it's so true about finishing stuff.
It's the old Monty Python lumberjack sketch, isn't it? You know, I never wanted to be a. I always wanted to be a lumberjack. You know, in a sudden moment of discovery. Yeah. Sorry, I interrupted you there, Dominic.
No, I interrupted you. I was just going to say it's so true about finishing stuff. I'm so many people are the same. I'm the same. I think it doesn't have to be finished to be streaming. You know, if you're working it through, I always found it much more. Not necessarily creative, but much easier to get stuff out is where you would literally do, I'll do a day a song or whatever it might be. We're going to finish this track one way or another. It's going to stop. And then you can work on it more, but you have to come back to it after a couple of days at least. And you know that particularly with some of the pop bands I was working with, you know, there wasn't that much time to write the second and third albums. And it would literally be, you've got 14 days, we need 14 songs. So you'd literally be doing that kind of stuff, and actually, they can when you're not that precious, they do come out sounding really good. Not all of them; some of them sound absolutely terrible. But you can at least you've got say 7 out of 14 that are onto something that you can then spend as long as you want in production mode. I think with people producing from home, producing is kind of finishing and polishing something in general and creating an environment in the old way of what production used to be. And writing is writing, you know, so write it or jam it out or whatever and don't get too precious about it. And then when you've got something good, then spend some time on it. And actually, you know, going out there and streaming it. I've done streams with, you know, 5 or 6 people watching just by switching Twitch on when I've been working in the studio. And a couple of people pop up, some of which have become really good friends. And some of which they say, do you know what, I don't like that hi-hat. And it's like, yeah, you're right. It's rubbish, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? And you get that interaction with other on Twitch. You know, it doesn't happen when you've got thousands of followers, but when there's just a bunch of 10 people with a common interest in what you happen to be doing, whether it's a dance track or an ambient thing or whatever, and they've kind of got it on in the background, yeah, and they don't care about, you know, saying that something's good or something's bad. It's that's the only bit that's missing creatively when you're self-excluding. It's the collaboration side of things, and that doesn't need to stop.
Just invite some random people to come and critique your jams.
Exactly. On Twitch. You'd be amazed at the kind of people that pop up. They're obviously just scanning through Twitch going like, okay, let's have a look at the music side of things. Let's find a channel with 3 people watching and let's, you know, I wonder what they're doing. You can kick them off if you don't like what they say, but actually, I found it beneficial. I just thought it was going to be interesting to see what happened, and it would force me to do something.
Can you create a MIDI controller that has a sort of ban button so that you don't have to kind of break your workflow? Cool. You just kind of go bam.
You just like we used to automate the SSL desk at Mayfair Studios. It was wired up to the aircon. I might have told you this before, but in the chorus, I used to fire the aircon full on. So you used to stand up and you used to go. Blow you away. But what I did think of was for your idea about the modular locking it to a single person, what you do is you just have an ignition key module at the right hand end that turns the power on. Yeah. And then you've got the key. Like you can have a really good noise as well. It could like go.
I actually have on this desk came with an old computer, an old Nikon 2 computer, and the motorized faders power supply unit has a key turn on key. So if you take it out, you can't switch on the power for the faders, and they would not move physically.
Oh, doesn't wow. So, Swarmatron also need a key to turn on?
Swarmatron.
Yeah, that's true. It does, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, of course, the EMS Synthy, the big one, the kind of roomful, quite often had an ignition key in it because it would be in a Sonic Labs of some kind, you know, in a university or somewhere. And so, you know, the I guess the lecturer would have the key to power it up, otherwise nobody else could turn it on, assuming that you ever turned it off. Or maybe a control model. I remember we did a piece. I've been trying to find it for years. It was years and years ago. We went to some kind of event in London, and it was a small trade show, and in the middle of it was a full-size EMS Synthy that they were restoring, and they brought it to this trade show to show, and it was just mind-blowing. I mean, because just the actual effort of doing that seemed completely over the top, but it was there, and it had a set of keys, and it was brilliant. I haven't been able to find the tapes. We've got hours of that sort of stuff. Anyway, it's all out there. Sorry. Go.
Dominic, do I see a Voyager behind you? Is that what that is?
No.
Matrix Brute.
Matrix Brute.
It's a Matrix Brute.
Okay. Yeah.
I'd love to hear more about your synths and your Eurorack.
Yeah. Well, I'm a relative newcomer. So you can probably teach me a lot more, but I want to put a video together, try and get back into the YouTube stuff like everything else. So, I'm very much in a learning thing.
We all can. Well, exactly. I mean, one of the things I was considering, I mean, depending on how things move, you know, we at the moment we do Sonic Talk once a week, but we may be able to just kind of go randomly choose the occasional special and just do more stuff, you know. I mean, because if people are out there watching it, then and we can still make it, then that's kind of my intention. You know, keep calm and watch synth reviews is sort of is a sort of mantra that might actually.
Yeah,
I wish I'd actually come up with that because that's a great. But it, you know, it's something that people use a lot, so. You know, maybe that'll work. Because we're probably going to wrap things up in a minute. Before we do, I just wanted to remind you again that we're going to be putting together a collection of product videos and announcing around about Supermove time to try and replace the void that's left. So because there's really no shows where anybody can show their wares. So we're kind of getting in touch with manufacturers. If you're interested and you want to maybe shoot a video with us or send us something, we're looking for emails to any of us, but sonicshows@sonicstate.com will come straight through. I heard a slight tone of disappointment there, Tori. Was there something else you wanted to talk about?
Oh, no, it was disappointment because this was going to be my first super booth and now I'm...
Oh, God, yeah, I know. It's sad, isn't it? It's so sad, but I guess, you know, next time, that's what we look forward to. Next time, imagine how good next time's going to be, but I can, you know, because there'll be all this pent-up synthness that we've got to get out to. So that'll, and
you know. The nerds will come in droves.
The nerds are rising, yeah, absolutely.
Everyone will be shaking their hands and kissing and everything.
Yeah, there'll be free exchange of bodily fluids with last year. Absolutely.
You know,
right, sorry.
I was going to say, I got really lucky with sanitizer. We had stocked up because of NAMM. And then when everywhere got sold out of sanitizer, we still had some from the convention.
Yeah, well, that's a fair point, yeah. I mean, that all of that stuff is kind of, yeah. And the message, the only message I want to give that maybe applies is everybody wash your hands and just, you know, do the right thing. That's the only thing that we're going to really cover. And stay safe and be kind of, you know, be cool. And hopefully we'll get through this soon and we'll all get back to normal. Or perhaps a new, even better normal than we have now. How about that?
Indeed.
A new, improved normal. Yeah. That might be a show title, actually. I quite like the sound of that.
What was Yoad Beat? I've forgotten what you
beat
said.
Boom.
The Beat something. Beat Boom. Boom. That's a good title.
Beat Boom.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. But new, improved, normal. Okay. Anyway, sorry. I forgot we're live, aren't we? We're doing a show. I suppose I should do my admin afterwards once I've turned everything off. But now it feels like perhaps a good time to round up and say goodbye to everybody. Thanks to all of you guys and gals out there watching. Thank you very much for your time. And, you know, I hope we've provided some kind of pleasant distraction for you all. But Tori and Steve, thank you so much for joining us. And next time, you've got an extra hour, at least, maybe, well, till this weekend. Actually, you probably haven't got an extra hour. I don't know if it's going to go the wrong direction. But thank you so much for making the effort of getting up and making yourselves presentable this early in the morning. It must have been a challenge, you know, because you've been up working late at night and all of those things. So, but thank you. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you for having us. Before you go, actually,
what's your Instagram stream where you're streaming this stuff? Is it at Tori Letzler? What's the...
So we're streaming most of it on just my at Tori Letzler.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, and we've been doing that pretty consistently. We've been doing like one every other day actually like 2 days ago, we did like six of them and we just kind of like played with all the new stuff. So yeah, if you're interested in that, I post stuff all the time and, you know, my people leave me comments of stuff they want to see me mess with. So yeah, head to my Instagram, just at Tori Letzler.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I'll also thank you, Yoad Nevo, for joining us. It's been a pleasure as ever.
My pleasure as ever, too.
And I hope you have a pleasurable and enjoyable amount of time to do things you want to do rather than you have to do in the coming few days.
Well, I want to do everything because I enjoy what I do. So I'm quite happy, more than quite happy, doing mixing. So I don't even consider that as work. People send me their songs to be mixed and then they pay me. That's perfect. Yeah,
bonus.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I still see it after all these years. So I'm quite lucky.
Excellent. Well, lovely to have you. As I say, a real pleasure. Also, Mr. Dominic Hawken, and you and your fancy lens. Thank you very much. And you did get your focus depth perfect, because we never noticed that your entire studio is in disarray. It's looks
dismantled. Yeah. No, thank you very much. Lovely to talk to you again. Good to meet you, Steve. Stay safe, everybody. Can I just big up my YouTube channel, which is about to get busier? It's Mr. Wiggly. MrWiggly is one word, Mr. Wiggly.
Okay, yeah, I'll put links in the show notes. Actually, send me an email after show just so that I can remember to put that in.
I will do. There's a ton of deluge-oriented videos in there, but it's about to get busy. So yeah, please check me out.
Excellent. I will do. Well, that's it for this week. Thank you very much. Thanks again to our friends over at Isotope. If in case you missed it, the competition is, we're looking for the hashtag #FinalFinalMaster and the hashtag Ozone9 to @SonicState and @IsotopeInc. That's on Twitter to win a copy of Ozone9 Advanced. But for now, that's it for this week. We can go to our little Celebrity Squares parting shot. We all wave ourselves off. That was Sonic Talk episode 611. Thank you very much for watching. Stay safe. Wash your hands.